I want to say thank you for coming tonight. I know the Lord very clearly led me in the direction of where we're going to go tonight in the scriptures. And so we're going to start in the book of Ephesians. And I don't know, we'll see how this works out over the next couple of weeks and what we settle in as far as how we do the service. But I feel really like that what I want to do is kind of go in a Bible study, kind of like Brother Branham did. Leave it in a mode where the Holy Spirit can bring inspiration. In other words, don't tie it to such a formal thing that we don't let the Holy Spirit move, but at the same time, stay very focused with the Scriptures and actually do studies and go through there. So you'll get an idea of how what I'm talking about tonight as we start and go through tonight's service. And my point tonight is not to go fast and to take our time to go through the Scriptures. And if we only get through one verse tonight, that's fine. But I think that there's a lot of things that the Lord will speak to us through it. And so we just want to thank Him right now for this opportunity. So if we just bow our hearts just for a minute to Him and ask for His blessings. Lord, we know, Lord, that we are such a blessed people. As I've said many times, Lord, in this hour, when if Satan had his way, there wouldn't be any believers. There would be anybody that have a desire for the Word of God and a desire for a closer walk. But Lord, in the midst of all this darkness and this age, you come down and you have blessed us with a calling in our hearts. And Lord, we think about the old man that had the white dog and the black dog inside him fighting. Lord, we find that same fight in our own walk. And
yes,
it helps us to know, Lord, that there's something out there that's struggling for life and
yes,
life more abundantly. And Lord, that makes us such a blessed people because you said that if we hunger and we thirst after righteousness, Lord, you said we would be filled. Not a maybe, Lord. You said we would be filled.
Yes, Lord.
We pray tonight, God, that as we are in this place, Lord, and knowing few in numbers, and maybe Satan would like to make us be discouraged, Lord, because there's few in numbers. But God, we look to you, the author and finisher of our faith.
Yes,
we cast this entire evening and this midweek service into thy hands, Lord, and just ask for your blessings upon them, Lord, that it would further your kingdom, further the walk of your people in the grace of God and in the strength that belongs to them. We ask God you'd help us tonight. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Amen. I tell you, you just start talking to him and it just makes all the difference in the world. As I said, I don't want to go fast tonight. We're just going to talk about these things. And I told Brother Daniel that maybe what we would do is we cover a little bit of material and then maybe set aside one service where people could come back and we actually have a question and answer or kind of do a dialogue and talk about things and give you a chance to speak what's on your heart about what we have covered. But for the most part, I don't feel like having a midweek service where we always come in here and we all just talk back and forth about like that kind of Bible study. So we'll see how it goes. But the one thing I know is that the Lord Jesus Christ is our shepherd.
Amen.
And we'll keep our eyes focused on Him. He'll take care of all our needs. Amen. So Ephesians chapter 1, and I just got a lot of comments that the Lord fed me on this, so I'm just going to talk about these things. You know, we have, and we'll probably go all over the Bible, all over the Scriptures, you know, so we may have moments where we have to turn in the pages or whatever, but we have quite a job to do, saints. The last time I checked and looked at it, we still have a job to tell this world what it is that the gospel's all about. We read in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, Peter says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always," right? "Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear," right? So we should always be ready. The Scriptures tell us that. Always be ready to tell them why it is that we believe what we believe, why we have the joy, why we believe the things that we believe. And so we must be able, in that, I think myself, we should be able to go back to the Scriptures with everything. We should be able to have a foundation. The Scriptures needs to be our foundation. Matter of fact, you've heard me say this, and I'll say it again many times, that anything Brother Branham taught, I wouldn't want you, and I'll say it this way, I wouldn't want you to take that for face value unless you can see that there is a scriptural backing for that thing. And so no matter what he says, if there's a scriptural foundation for that, then that's fine. But if you can't find it, you need to lay it up on a shelf until the Lord shows you that.
That's good.
That particular thing, because there's so many people who take something just face value, what Brother Graham said, and be just the man.
Yeah.
And they take off and they go off to seed on that, and they have nothing to fall back on, and they blow up out there. And then when they blow up and people challenge them, then they show their dogmatic side to them. And next thing you know, when they're trapped in the corner, then they start pointing fingers at Brother Branham or something like that. When really the fault was is they went off down a road without having the backing that they need from the Scripture. So even, and I believe this totally, if Brother Branham was sitting right there in that chair, he'd be the loudest one to say, amen, brother.
Amen.
Amen. If you hear me saying something and it don't go back to Scriptures, then just discard it to the side, lay it up, and let the Lord deal with that at some point. And so 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, and I know this is a verse that you are familiar with, but it says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Now, this very much applies to ministry, right? Very much applies to ministry because it goes on to say, and it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, right?
Right.
And so for especially for ministers, but for even for the rest of the congregation, as we said, to be ready to give an answer to people and be ready to take them to the Scriptures and know where it is scripturally, so that you don't find yourself ashamed when you try to share something and you can't back it up. And so 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. And so that's what we want to do as we dig into the Scriptures and begin to study and go with these things. Now, Brother Graham tells us that I don't think you'll find this anywhere else, but he's the one that told us that Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, parallels the book of Joshua. And so that's going to be a big part of our theme, at least getting started on this as we go into this. So he said that Ephesians parallels Joshua. So let's talk about Joshua just for a minute. Joshua, the word Joshua in the Old Testament, if you look at it, you'll find out it's the same word, same means the same thing as Jesus. It means Jehovah Savior. So, and that's why you'll find in like Acts chapter 7, verse 45, you'll remember where Stephen is actually telling he's going back and rehearsing all the history of Israel, and he talks about our fathers had the tabernacle in the wilderness, and they brought it into this land with Jesus. It was Joshua. So Joshua is the same word as Jesus, and they translated in the New Testament as Jesus, but it was really Joshua that with the fathers brought the tabernacle into the promised land, because Joshua's the one that took them in. You also find in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8, where he talks about that if Jesus had not had given them rest, then he wouldn't have spoke afterwards of another one to come. And he's talking there about the children of Israel going into Egypt, going into the promised land. And so, again, that translation there is Joshua. And so, you'll find that. But the word Joshua means the same thing, Jehovah Savior, and same thing as Jesus. And you find out that Joshua took the people into the promised land, right? He took them, Moses brought them out of Egypt. They wandered in the wilderness for a while, and then Joshua took them into the promised land. And I think today we're the same way. Brother Branham, the ministry that God had worked in him, it was Moses, it was Elijah, it was Christ, it was Joshua. All those things are in there in that ministry. And so God used Brother Branham to play the part of Moses to bring us out of denominations, out of the bondage of Egypt, and bring us, heading us toward a promise, heading us to a place that we'll talk about in just a moment. And there's segments to this, and I think really that we could say that the people in the message for a while have been in the wilderness.
Right.
Many have come out of the grips of denomination, but they're still in the wilderness, and many of them, as they are in this wilderness and not yet gone to the true promise yet, in that time, many of them return back to denominational thoughts in their heart, mm-hmm. And it's a testing time. It's a trying time. If Sister Claire was here, I'd have her sing that song just about. You know, there is a testing place. But that same testing place for the world is the resting place for the believer. It's the same place. The same thing that's a great test for them actually becomes a great rest for you and I. And so these people get stuck in this in-between place. But Joshua actually took those people when it came time to take them into the promised land, and he took everything that Moses had brought, all the law and the things that Moses had brought. He stayed with that, but with that he took them into the promised land. And so, he stayed with what was given. So I would say that would tell us that in our day that we would stay with the things that have been given us, and there will come a time when we come out of this testing time, and it's time to go in and actually take hold of the promise totally and completely. So Joshua took them in. And so Brother Graham says, now, the book of Ephesians parallels the book of Joshua. So if you look, Moses brought them out, and Joshua took them in. If you look at the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you look at all the things that happened there, and then you got this book of Ephesians that is like, you know, proving and showing and going on into the things of God, what was started when the gospel began to be preached. And so you can kind of look at it that way. But I'm going to read a quote that Brother Branham gives us out of Ephesians parallels with Joshua. And I know some of you know this quote, but I'm saying this for a reason, because I feel like that what we're doing tonight is exactly what Brother Branham wanted to do when he said, I want to talk about Ephesians parallels Joshua. So he says, Bible teaching is usually a little treacherous. A little, you know, kind of walking out on thin ice, we call it. He said, but we just feel that maybe at this point in time, it might be good to kind of bring the church to what I think is a complete understanding, positionally, of what they are in Christ Jesus. And sometimes I think preaching is a wonderful thing, but I believe sometimes, Brother Beeler, that teaching goes beyond that, and kind of especially to the church. Now, preaching usually catches the sinner and brings them under condemnation by the word, but teaching places a man positionally what he is. And we can never rightly be able to have faith until positionally we know what we are. And so Brother Branham is bringing this out here. Now he says the book of Ephesians parallels the book of Joshua. And we know Joshua places. And in here he begins to say, look, the preaching of the word, it brings conviction upon a man and it brings him to the gospel. But it takes more than preaching. It takes actual teaching of the word. And teaching actually does something for the believers. And not just regular preaching of the word does. But teaching actually will take them and it will place them like Joshua placed. It will place people in something that God has for them. And so he says it takes that, and sometimes it's a treacherous thing. You have to walk out there in places where, I guess if people are, that's all they're used to is preaching, then it might take them out to a place where it might feel a little bit thin or like thin ice. But nevertheless, Brother Branham is telling us here that this is what we have. And so I feel tonight that in our Bible study on this, that we will do that. We will actually be going in and taking things and that would help you in your walk. What does it mean to be positionally placed? Well, if you go back and you find out God told Abraham, he said, I'm giving this land to you. I will give this land to you. And I'll give it to your children. But Abraham didn't have it at that point. He actually was walking and looking for that city whose builder and maker was God. But his physical seed was going to be given that very promised land that he was walking in. And God told him, you walk up and down through here, every place where you put your foot, that's going to be this promised land. And so God had told Abraham, he said, Abraham, you're going to be a father of nations. Well, that means that he's got to have a lot of offspring, right? And he had no children at that time. So God is saying, you're going to have a bunch of people. Well, you know what? If you have a bunch of people, you got to feed them.
Right.
You got to clothe them. You got to have a place to live. You got to have a land where they can prosper.
So with that promise of saying you're going to have offspring, also has to come a land, a place that they can prosper. So that all the food they need, all the raiment, all the economy that they would need, places to build their houses, field to plant their food, all those things would be available to them so that they could be this mighty nation that he said they would be. Right? So this was the promise. It was the promised people that was to come, and it was a promised land for those people to live in so that they could prosper. In other words, everything that God said they would be. Everything when he said, here's the promise to be a mighty nation, in order to do that, then God had to provide everything so they could become what he had ordained them to be. They couldn't do that if they didn't have food and land and water, places to plant and houses, and they take places where they could build houses and cities and all that. They couldn't do that. So that's the promise. And Moses brings them out of bondage because they're not in the promise. He brings them out of bondage. And Joshua takes them into, and actually he takes them into their promise. In other words, and he places them. Each one, each tribe, if you remember reading it, each tribe, he placed them and gave them bounds, the boundaries of their portions, and he put them all in place. What did Joshua do? Joshua empowered them to become what God said they were going to be.
That's right.
See what I'm saying? Joshua was the key to that. Jehovah Savior. See, Moses was one phase to bring them out, but that phase was not to take them in. Joshua was to take them in. And so that was the promised land. And so when we say, what does it mean to be positionally placed? Well, to take a people and put them right where God said they could prosper and any need they had would be met.
Amen.
You get hungry, there's a place to grow food. You need water, there's a stream that comes by, or wells of water, or whatever it is. So you get the picture. To be positionally placed in this particular talk right now is to take people and to actually put them right in the midst of the very thing they need so that they blossom and become exactly what God predestinated them to be.
Amen.
That's what being positionally placed is. And so that's what the promised land is. Well, for them it was a promised land, a physical land. For you and I, it's not necessarily a physical land, but there is a promise. God has decreed what we shall be. Right? And we were born in this world in sin. We weren't in that particular spot yet, but we were born in sin. And God had a process. He had a Moses that would come. He had the things that were in place that would bring us out of that bondage and actually take us and put us into the promise and become what it is, so that you and I right now, if we need healing, guess what? We've been placed into a position where we have that healing.
Right.
If we need salvation, if we need whatever it is, if we need finances or whatever, we have been placed in the midst of the very thing that will give us that. And so that's what it means. And so pulling you back to the fact that Ephesians parallels Joshua, Brother Ram saw something in the book of Ephesians that he said, you know what? We'll take this and we'll teach it, and this teaching of this thing will go beyond preaching. This teaching will take these people and it will show them right where they belong. It will positionally place them, and at that point they'll have the right kind of faith.
Right.
That's what he said. They'll have the right kind of faith then. Why? Because now you know what belongs to you.
Right.
You got it right here with you, and you just reach out by faith and you just apply it. So whatever needs come along, they're met.
Amen.
Now that's what being positionally placed means. And so, what a prophet saw was that there was something about the book of Ephesians that actually would do that for the believer. It would actually place them like Joshua placed them. Okay, so Joshua placed them in the promised land, and Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, it's a Joshua again. It'd have to come again. Then he would place us into that. How many knows that Brother Branham went through it? I didn't look it up, so I can't. It's not fresh in my mind. But he came to a place where you'll find where he wrote it in his Bible. And he said, from this day forward, I'll do that part, what I'm called to do. This Joshua ministry that I'm to have. Because God did that through. He actually spoke, I think it was down in Lion Tabernacle, And I mentioned this a while ago. I said, you know, the spirit of Moses, Elijah, Christ, all that was manifested in history. Brother Man was speaking in Life Tabernacle, I believe it was, in Louisiana. And he said, I think someone spoke in tongues and somebody else interpreted. And this woman interpreting said that, thus saith the Lord, within the space of 3 months, the spirit of Moses and Elijah and Christ will minister right here, I believe is what was said, right here in this tabernacle. And the next thing Brother Ben said, it happened just exactly. Because God was using all of the types and shadows and everything that was going to be coming through the ages, they all had to come to fulfillment, and God played a whole lot of that out in the life of William Branham. And so that's what it means to be placed. So let's see if we can look at Ephesians and see why Brother Branham felt like that this would positionally place. That's why I felt led to move in this direction tonight, and just to start at this and just go word by word and cover it. So let's begin reading. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Some of these things I went back and listened to Ephesians parallel Joshua. And so we'll talk about this. Brother Branham expressed this. An apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints. To the saints. This message, this that is about to be delivered, this nugget of truth in Ephesians that's going to place people positionally in what they need so they can defeat every enemy that will come their way. He says, it's to the saints, not to the world, not to the shallow believer. The word saint really means sanctified one, so they have to be more than just justified, more than just repenting and saying, Lord, forgive me my sins. They actually have to have had enough of an experience of God in their life to God cleaned them up some.
Yeah.
At least to some degree that they're cleaned up from the things in the world. So they're at least sanctified. Not necessarily that they've got the Holy Ghost yet, but at least to the point where they have obeyed God, and the Holy Spirit has got enough of a control over their life that He's taken them somewhere. They're not just stalled out and stagnant over here at justification. That He's actually doing something with them. And so they're sanctified ones. And then it goes on and it says, and if you listen to Brother Branham's example, he goes into it even deeper. But so it's to the saints that are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. One thing that comes to mind right now, I wanted to go back and point out. How many members were the centurion, which was a Roman, he was not Jewish, not Hebrew, he came to Jesus and said, my servant.
Right?
My servant. And he said, now, I'm not worthy to come under my roof, but he said, you just speak. You just speak the word, and my servant will be made well. Everything will be fine. And Jesus, because he said, look, I'm a man of authority. I've got 100 guys underneath me, and all I have to do is say this, and go, and he goes, and come, and he comes. And so this soldier said, look, I understand the concept. I have authority over these men. And my authority over these men, when I speak, they do what I say because I have that authority. So he says, I recognize in you, Jesus, and him a Gentile. Gospel hadn't even come to the Gentiles yet. And him a Gentile, he says, I recognize something in you. You're an authority.
Yeah.
And your authority covers the domain that whatever's attacked my servant, you've got authority over that. I recognize that. So you just speak like I speak.
Yeah.
You just speak, and that word will cause whatever it is that's got my servant messed up. That'll cause him to come forward. And here's what I'm going to get to. Jesus said, oh, I haven't found this kind of faith in all Israel. There is something about it. You find out in the scriptures where Paul had to talk to the Corinthians and he had to correct them. They were all the time in error. So he really couldn't do a whole lot with them because they still needed milk. They didn't have room for meat yet.
Yeah.
You find over to the Hebrews, which to me is deep also, but it's to the Hebrews. And so you find out that the Jewish traditions and all those kind of things, here's the way I'm looking at it, that the things that Paul is able to deliver to the Ephesians, he really couldn't deliver that to the Corinthians, and he couldn't even deliver it to the Hebrews. They'd get too thinking about all their customs and all that. But here's a Gentile people. like that soldier, like that centurion. The Gentile people just led out there and they go, you know what, I believe it. And they just take it and go with it. Yeah. Just like that the centurion. And he just took and went off with it. And that's what I believe that is significant here, that this is through the Ephesians. Everything has a reason for this in there. And so it's to the faithful, he said, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So again, that speaks of a little bit of a surrender of their life. Not just saying forgive me, but they've surrendered their life and they are being faithful to that Holy Spirit leadership and us, that He's even cleaned them up and they're sanctified now.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? It's not complicated. God is a God of dispensation. He is a God of steps and unfolding the way He does. But if we can just catch that channel and see right where we are, we know what the next step needs to be. That's all it is. That's why we can look and we can see all the ages unfold right down to this age. We see it in the Bible. We see exactly what the Bible says about this age. And because of that, we know exactly what to expect.
Right.
Right? That's all it takes. What is the promise for us now? We know right what to expect. And so that's what we sink our faith teeth into and just, you know, bite down on it and go with it. And so it's the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace, verse 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we'll go ahead and read in verse 3 here. Let's see. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, He's blessed us with all, not some. If there's anything that God could give you, it's right here in this. Anything that you would ever need, spiritual blessing that you would ever need, it's right here in this. You don't have to look anywhere else for it because it's right here in this. Right here in what He's talking about here. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessing. That means we're not lacking anything as long as we receive what's there in that. All spiritual blessings. And so, not physical blessings. Not a new Cadillac, not a new house, not a big fancy job, nothing like that, okay? But spiritual blessings. The kind of blessings we really need. You think about when Jesus is there and he could heal the sick, He could raise the dead, but that dead would have to die again.
Yeah.
And He came to the place where He said, you know what? They love the miracles and stuff like that, but He said, you know what? Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. He began to move out of the first pool into the second pool. He began to actually tell them the very thing they needed. He wasn't giving them physical food and fishes and loaves. It wasn't a physical thing anymore. He began to talk spiritual. He was beginning to pour out to them spiritual blessings. And so, because that was the thing that was going to save them.
Right.
Right? So yeah, God wants us to be in health and prosper and be in health in natural things. We know that. He's promised to do that. But His real significance that He's focusing on is not so much physical blessings, but spiritual blessings. And so that you, just like I said, whatever you have that God that you need, it's found right here in these spiritual blessings. And it says, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so, heaven, we know, heaven consists of the Word. I know that God made this physical dimensions that we have after the time in a time and shadow of spiritual things, and you and I can't really get up in heaven by ourselves. We can't go up into the sky. We can't go up into space in ourselves. We have to have some sort of special device like an airplane or something like that. But just consider that in as being the Word. And we in ourselves, we can't go up into the midst of the Word, right? We can't be blessed in heavenly places in ourselves.
Right.
But we can in Christ. Right? So He has, because way up there, if you've ever, how many have ever flown an airplane? You get up there, and I'm telling you, it don't take but just a few seconds, and all these great big cars and great big planes and big buildings and all this stuff, and about 5 seconds after that plane takes off, and goes up, you look out that window and look how small all that looks to you.
Yep.
And the higher you go, the smaller it gets. So what am I saying? Oh, I got all these troubles, all these things bother me all around me, but you get caught up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and then look at it and go, what? That's what I was bothered about? Because that's what it does to you. Now, I'll explain a little bit more why it's that way in just a little bit. But Brother Brown tells us that heaven consists of the Word. So you can find in the book of Revelation that where it says, I saw in the midst of heaven this mighty angel. All he's really talking about in one translation, or not in translation, but an interpretation of that, because it's compound meaning, compound revelation. But it's to look right here in the Word,
yeah,
and say, you know what? I see right here in the days of the fourth and seventh angel. Right? And it's a mighty angel. I see this is the Word and this is heaven.
Yeah.
And I see in the midst of heaven, right here, there was to be a mighty angel that would come. So in just in that in one folding, you say, you know what? It wasn't so much that he looked right up here, oh, look, coming down off the cloud up here physically, was a great big mighty angel. It wasn't so much that, see? But it was the fact that he was coming out of the midst of the Word. Why? Because up there is where it's true. Up there is where everything's right. And everything, you know, not down here. So coming, what are we saying? Let me get to the next point, and so you'll understand what I mean. Heaven consists of the Word. So Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will not pass away.
Right.
Now we talk about space being 14 billion light years across or whatever, and all that's going to, he can fold all that up. You know, all that could pass away. But, and when he says heaven, he's not saying his Word, because you understand, he says, my Word will never pass away. Will not pass away. And so here's what I want to say about that. The Word is the only thing that's consistent. The Word is the only thing that'll remain.
Yeah.
And if it's the only thing that'll remain, then everything else is shifting and moving and dissolving and decaying and changing. Right? But the Word, so the Word is the only thing that is consistent. So if I was God and I really wanted to bless you, if I really wanted to do something good for you, I wouldn't give you something that was going to fade away. I wouldn't try to deliver to you something that was going to melt away someday. If I really loved you and I wanted to establish you the best you could ever be for all eternity, I'd give you something that would establish you that way, and I wouldn't give you something else.
Right?
Right? And so when it says that he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, he's saying, that's what he's saying. I'm not going to give you something down here that's going to pass away. I'm going to give you something that's right up here in the midst of the only thing that is consistent and will last forever.
Amen.
That's why he puts it, that's why he has done it that way. And so, that's what heaven consists of, the Word. And that's the only thing that's consistent. And so, we are allowed to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus and have access to this. So up there in heaven, in the midst of the Word, it's all truth. There's no lie, no deception. There's no sickness, no dying. Everything is yea and amen there. But outside of that, then there must be decay. There must be shift. That's why we cannot trust our government. We can't even trust ourselves.
Right?
Right?
Right.
But we can trust Him. We can trust the Word because it doesn't change. And His desire is to take us up out of this earthly realm into the midst of there where everything's true and everything's right and everything's positive. That's the idea, is to catch us up in that. So that's why He says we're allowed to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. As I said a while ago, we can't go there ourselves unless we have something to take us there. But God has provided something that would take us into that realm and let us set up there, so that when we set and we look around, we see truth, we see righteousness, we see positive, we see healing, we see life, because that's where all this is at. He's caught us up into that dimension. And so, heaven consists of the Word. Now, the wife, because she's one with the husband, she has access to everything he has. Right? because we are in Christ Jesus, and this will come out more later, but because we are in Christ Jesus, then we are allowed to sit in all that He has. He has given us access to everything that He is, which is in heaven, where everything's true and everything's right. He's given us that access because we are in Christ Jesus. And so, that's verse 3. We just talked about verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You won't sit in those heavenly places if you're not in Christ.
Amen.
So he's telling you, this is to the saints, the sanctified ones, but listen, you've got to go all the way. It's not just to stop here. You've got to go ahead and go into that full experience to have access to this thing that Paul was talking about here. And so remember, Brother Branham believed that these words that were written in the book of Ephesians, that actually had the power. Not what was in Corinthians, not what was in Hebrews, not somewhere else. But this, what we find in the book of Ephesians, has the power to put you to where everything God said you could have, you've got it.
Right.
You have access to it. That's what it's all about. I keep looking at the clock, but I'm purposing not to hold like an hour and a half service or something like that on Wednesday night, because I want to try to go slow with these things and give you time to chew on them, to think on them, and I trust and pray that you're writing down any questions that might come to you in those things. So that was verse 3. But I want to show you something. We want to read in Hebrews chapter 12. The word will not pass away. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. This is one time that I'll have you actually turn there, because I want you to read it with me. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 25. So if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, Hebrews 12, 25. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Now he's speaking here about how that, you know, Moses, he's talking about Moses and how God came down and spoke and all those sort of things. But now Paul is saying, now what we're hearing now, the voice is coming from heaven, it's coming from the Word. So he says, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of those things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. And so you see there, he has promised in the Scriptures that God is actually going to allow a shaking that will come, not just shake the earth like what they had back there with Moses and that sort of thing, but he's actually going to allow a shaking to go take place that actually goes into the realm of heaven and shakes heaven. That's right. Did you know that heaven had to be purified also?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Heaven had to be purified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so, and heaven, and you know, I know we talk about physical heaven, and there's all these different dimensions of heavens, and heaven, as I said, heaven consists of the Word, but you realize God will test His own Word.
That's right.
God will test His own Word. So He's promised here, I'm going to let everything be shaken. And the only thing, if he said heaven and earth will pass away, but my word won't pass, then he's got to have something come along prove that word. So he's got to have a shaking that's going to shake everything and not touch that word. That word will come out, not done away with. And so he's promised right there, when I said heaven consists of word and don't pass away, he shows right there that this shaking time's coming. Of course, Paul is speaking of it. And, you know, I could say, well, all this stuff we've been hearing lately, all these people that's decided they don't want part of the message or something like that, all that it's a shaking.
Right.
That's all it is. But you realize you can't shake the word enough to make the word fail.
Right.
You can't do it. So that's all it is. So, you know, let's just have courage and all that.
Amen.
We look and say, you know what? Yeah, maybe I see something, got a question. But in just a few days, the Holy Ghost wraps that up for you. Say, I understand what that's all about. Well, you had a little bit of a shaking, but it didn't shake you off your foundation. See? And so that we expect some of those things to be like that. And so there Hebrews talks about it. He's going to shake heaven, earth, the whole thing. And the only thing that will be left is those that cannot be shaken and destroyed. That'll be what's left that remains. And so that pretty much wraps up verse 3. Now, maybe we get through verse 4 real quick before we get out of here. We are allowed, as we read here in verse 4, we'll just go ahead and read it. It says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And so, this verse 3 we just read, when it said, he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He's done this. And the very next verse says, according to, right? And so what I want to show you is that if I went down and I paid for a new truck for Brother Daniel down here at Road Chevrolet, and he goes in there tomorrow, and they say, what are you doing here? Well, the reason why I'm here is because, according to the fact that this brother has paid for me, and that's why I'm here. I'm here to have this, and that's why I'm here, and why I can be here, because this provision has made that. And so I want you to see that Paul says he's blessed us with all these, but why? How has he done this? What's the purpose? If a train goes down a certain way, it's because it's following the tracks. It don't just go off through the woods. It follows something, and so that train is going that way according to what the track says.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And so he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. We've gone that direction. This is what's coming. Why? Because there's something established there that we are following, and it's according to that.
Right. Amen.
Right? It's according to that. And so we're allowed to do that. And so there was something God established before the world was, and it's a foundation that's greater than what this world is. So let me just look for ways to try and explain to you what I'm looking at here. Let's say that there was a mountain that come up out of the earth, and this mountain was pretty tall, and it was shaped, if you look down on it from above, it was shaped just like the cross of Calvary. And it was sticking up there, and it was solid rock, harder than any rock that you could ever blast away. You never could do nothing with it. And let's just say that you come along and maybe the top layer was dirt, you know, but the majority of this mountain was solid and couldn't be changed. And you come along and say, man, this would be a great place to build a city. And so everybody gets together and they start digging footings, and some people use stone, some people use concrete, whatever, and they build their homes and they build their houses. And so here's all this work. And these houses are built on their footings and their foundations that they build. And so you say, well, this foundation's got to be really good so that you build on top of it. And then all of a sudden you come on with bulldozers and you just destroy all that. You take those houses off, maybe leave your little foundation, turn around and build something else on the same foundation. But you come on with bulldozers and absolutely just destroy the house and destroy their foundations and totally build something totally different on top of it. And maybe you go through that whole process 10 times over 1,000 years. Here's the point I'm getting at. Not one time did all that coming and going of anything that man has ever built, any foundation that he built on that he thought was good, none of that ever touched the mountain. None of that ever changed what the purpose was of the cross.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So anything, and here's what I'm going to show you. In this case, that mountain is something that God established. This is what we're talking about. According to something.
Amen.
It's something that happened way back when, and nothing in this world that can ever be built on, tore down, whatever, none of that can ever change this thing that it's according to. So when he says he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according to something that was established, and so that's something I want to place in your mind like this. The scripture doesn't call it this way, but so that you can help understand my thought on it is that before the foundation of the world, in other words, the thing when God laid it and the whole world's built upon that, before that, there was something else that God established. And our being here is according to that. It's not according to the world. It's not according to the foundation of the world. But it's according to something he established before the foundation of the world.
Yeah, right.
And that's why he said, according to this, before that, before the foundation of the world. And so he says, according as he, and here's what it is. What is it that he established? He chose us in him. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And so, he says, I'm going to do everything that we're showing you here in verse 3 because God established something back there before the world was. And nothing that happens in time, nothing that happens in your day tomorrow, or last week, or whatever, will ever change what that was back here at the beginning.
Amen.
And so that's what Paul is speaking of when he says this. According to, he's able to do this, and he's able to allow us to sit in heavy places. He's able to allow us to see what God's doing. He's able to allow us to see our being and what we are in God's economy. We're able to have access to the kingdom of heaven and to understand the revelations of God, all because of not anything in the world, not the foundation of the world, but we're able to have all access to all those things that are right and true because he established it way back here before the foundation of the world. And what was that? That he chose us in him. Back there, we were in Christ. Back there, before the world ever come along, before he ever started it, he chose us. He said, you know what? They are in Christ, and because of that, when they come here, they're going to sit in heavenly places because they're in Christ. So you were placed in Christ back there, and because of that, now when you're here, guess what? You're walking along as a sinner, and something changes your life one day, and all of a sudden you get caught up in the heavenly places, and you see the gospel, and you see what this is all about. Why? Because God is making you follow that according to the fact that you were already in Christ, and that's why you go down this road now, is because you were in him at the beginning to begin with. And so, he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Why? That we would be holy and without blame before him in love. God knew that when we come into this world as sinners, that what this world was going to throw upon us, if it was allowed to have preeminence in our life, we would not be able to stand before him in holiness.
Right.
We would not be able to stand before him blameless. So God established this way back there so that we could stand before him.
Amen. That's right.
Holy and without blame. Right? Well, if he established something back there that says, you know what, when they get there, when their time on earth comes, they're going to stand before me in holiness and blamelessness. If he established that back here, there ain't nothing going to happen up here in time that's going to take that away.
Amen.
Because why? He established it. He said, look, I have a desire for my people to stand before me. I want to see them and before me to be righteous, holy, without blame, and so I'm going to provide that for them. And the way he provided it was by placing us in Christ before the world was. When Jesus said, all that the Father hath given me will come.
Right.
How did the Father give us to Jesus? He gave us to Jesus way back there when he said, I'm putting you in him before the world was.
Amen.
We were given to Christ before the world was.
That's right. Man.
And because of that, Jesus said, they're all coming. Every one of them is going to come. Right? Saints, by listening to this, do you feel that placing? Placing you in the promises. And say, you know what? There's nothing Satan can do to stop a believer.
Amen.
We have our ups and our downs, but you know what? We're established way back there, not what we see here.
Right.
We were established way back here before the world was. And so he has chosen us, and the reason why he did that was so that we could stand before him holy and without blame before him. Now I'm going to emphasize that, before him. Not before the world. The world's not going to see you that way. Most of the time we may not see ourselves that way. But what he established before the world was going to put us in a position that before him, the king of all heaven and earth, before him, the one that we'll stand before someday in at the end of our time, before him we stand in righteousness, stand in holiness, and stand blameless. So that we can do that. Holy and without blame before him in love. In love. What does this mean? And we're going to end in just about the next 5 or 10 minutes. Holy and without blame before him in love. And I just think, Lord, how can I illustrate this? I don't know if this would be the best way to do it, but in this great big sphere, like a big ball, of something called the love of God, all inside there, and this sphere of God's love is endless. It's boundless for the believer.
Right.
In all that, if you could look inside God's heart and you could see everything that he loved, you and I were in there. Right? And that love produced something that would make you and I to where we could stand before him holy, without blame. And so that love produced that before the world was. The Lamb was slain in the mind of God before the world ever was. God settled it right there. But it was all inside what? The desire, the love that God had for us. He just settled it right there. Because, you know, the Scripture said love covers a multitude of sins. Brother Daniel loves his wife. You know what? She can make a mistake. And if he didn't love her, he might just run her over or something. Mm-hmm. But because he loves her, he covers that.
Amen.
Right? Because there's a relationship there that has more power, more preeminence between him and her than his mistakes and her mistakes. Now, this is what I'm saying. Before the world was, before God ever established, in the sphere of God's love, he loved you and I that way. That relationship of that love that he had toward us would overcome all of that we'd ever do, right or wrong. And so that would have preeminence. And so God covered all that, and it put him into action. And he just said, I know what's going to happen. I know how the world's going to treat him and all that. So I'm just going to fix it right now before I ever start all that. I'm just going to settle it right here because I love them. I'm going to place them in Christ, in the Redeemer. And that will give them right when time comes, when they're here on earth. That will give them access to all of my kingdom and all the things that I'm doing. They'll know exactly who they are in me. And when that happens, they'll have the right kind of faith.
Amen.
They'll know how to fight the enemy.
Amen.
So his love is without limits. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, 28, beginning at 28. And then we'll end this session tonight. Romans chapter 8. Let's begin reading at verse 28. Now we're talking about this sphere of love, the love of God. And he says, and we know, Romans 8, 28, and we know that all things, again, there's that word, A-double-L, all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Who did the calling? Did you call yourself? Well, who wonder who did the calling? Was it devil? No, it was God, who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, and then to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. And you've heard this before, but I want you to look at that, saints. Every one of those is past tense.
That's right.
Right? He foreknew us, right? He did predestinate. That's past. Those he predestinated, then he called, that's past. And whom he called, he justified, that's past. And whom he justified, he glorified, and that's past. So you see, there it is. When somebody says, what do you mean you held this position before the world was in with God? What do you mean, Job, where were you, you know, before the foundation world with all the sons of God shouted, the morning star sang and the sons of God shouted for joy? What do you mean? Well, there it is again, right there. That God, way back there, he settled all that. You were predestinated, called, justified, glorified, right back there before the world was in Christ. And because of that, when you come here, that's exactly where you get placed, right here on this earth, because God established it back there. So, verse 31, when Paul says this, and I love the way Paul anticipates what people are going to say sometimes when he says something. So he says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If you really think about it. Now, the word predestination comes very strong to me right here. I don't see how anybody can read their Bible and not see predestination. But there it is. Paul says, look, he did all these things, past tense, and if God's done that, who's going to come along and be a problem for us? Nobody is. Nobody's going to come and be a problem to us. He said, if God be against for us, who can be against us? And so he says, verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, let me just say something here. He put you in Christ way back there before the world was. But now you appear here on the scene in a lost condition. But what does he do? He puts Christ in you. And he brings to pass the image of what God had to begin with. And so he says here, if he spared not his son, if he took that his son and he just put him on the cross and did those things the way he did, if he spared not his own son but delivered him up for us, then how shall he not with him, why, him in us, freely give us all things? So if he did that back then, now he's giving you the Holy Ghost, and he's got that experience coming. It'll take you all the way through. And so, verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. If I belong to God, and he's the one that raised me up, and he's the one that's going to put me in heavenly places, and he's the one that's going to quicken my body one of these days, and tell me I can live throughout eternity, never have pain, sickness, or nothing like that. Yep. If he's the one that does that, I don't have to worry about some other guy coming along and accusing me.
Right.
Because I rise and fall in the eyes of my master, and he's taking care of me.
Amen.
So if he's justified me, these other people want to make fun of us. It'll make no difference. Because we belong to him. Right? We belong to him. So who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justified. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Listen, we might make mistakes down here, but if he's up there, if he is up there making intercessions for our mistakes, do you think our mistakes are going to continue to condemn us? No, his intercession will take care of it.
Amen.
Because you couldn't ask for anybody better to make intercession. So even our problems here that we have, he maketh intercession for us. He's wrapped it all up, saints. There's no question about it.
Right.
He's wrapped the thing totally, completely up where you and I can sit in heavenly places, and even our mistakes don't even count against us because we're in him.
Amen.
Right. He takes care of it. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now remember that sphere of love where it's all in there and that just settled it. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come,
right,
nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Now I'll tell you what. You use your imagination. Satan just loves to anoint. You just use your imagination. You invent in your mind some system or some entity or some creature that can beat you out of salvation. And I'll tell you that whatever you come up with in your mind is covered under this list right here.
Amen.
No principality, power, no beast, no present, no future, past, whatever. None of those things can separate us from this sphere of love that provided for you before the world was. And that's why you can sit and you can say, I love what I'm hearing.
Amen.
I can say amen to what I'm hearing. Why? Because it was settled long ago.
That's right.
Amen. This would be a good time for us to quit right here. Let's just bow our hearts to the Lord. Lord Jesus, how thankful we are for your truth, Lord. How we thank you for your word, Lord. How it's so true and it just places us right, Lord, in a position where we need to be, Lord, to understand that you have settled these things. Lord, that whenever we turn and we need something, Lord, we can, by faith, just reach out and grab it because you made it so for us, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for this time tonight. We ask that your blessings be upon the people that they can remember, retain. Lord, we'll go back and cover these things. And as we move forward, we just ask God that you would commit to them, Lord, the memory of these promises, God, that are here, so that we, in this year that we believe to be our Jubilee, God, that there will be a change in us, that we will not be the mediocre. We will not stay the same. We will not be on some plateau just flattened out. Lord, that you will take us to a higher level through the things that we hear. God, we ask that you would just bless us in this manner. Bless the folks as they go home and travel tonight. Lord, just let your Holy Spirit be with them. May, as they even lay on the bed tonight, Lord, may your presence just come and speak to them and woo them. Lord, the promises and the truth that you've given them this hour. We thank you, God, for sending a ministry that could bring us back to the Word and give us a restoration, Lord. And we just want to take this restoration and move on with it, Lord, and be that people that you said we would be. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for your presence, your liberty, your anointing. And we thank you, Lord, for your truth and your word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. We'll sing just a little bit of a song before we go. He's all I need. Listen, he is the word. And I'll tell you what, saints, these things like what we're seeing here, that's all we need. Right?
Amen.
He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He's all I need. He's all. Thank you. Gave you in the Word.
Amen.
You are blessed in Christ, in heavenly places, in the Word. That's the position you hold. And so, you know what? Just tell me where I belong in Him. And that's all I need.
Amen.
Right? Just show me what I am so I can reach out and grab it, and that'll be all that I'll ever need from now on throughout eternity. I'll just live by that Word. And that's why He said, you know what? It's Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by the word of God.
Right?
Every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. God bless you, saints. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord with you. I trust that you feel blessed tonight.
Amen.
You're dismissed.